Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance, for your power, and the fellowship, God, that you've richly given to us through the works of the cross. God, as we continue to learn about discipleship, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will cause us to excel in the things of God. Pray for every listener tonight that the peace of God is theirs, the joy of the Spirit is theirs, and you will be glorified in their lives in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I will just jump right on. If you can, if you're in a position to record, please feel free to record. If you're not in a position, just listen through. Last week, I really wished I could have recorded what I had shared, and that's it. I'm learning to keep the record on. Wow, I don't know what you've been learning for the last couple of days that we've been having this conversation. I don't know what you've gotten. I don't know what is being built or being guided around your life that it's beneficial for you as an individual and the body of Christ. I pray that this series will just ground us and make us become better Christians or better kingdom people, better stewards of the message. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. I've tried to put some series on our anchor platform, that is 1 and 2, of just 30 minutes, 29 and 30 minutes. And I pray that you'll be able to get some time and just listen through as we continue with this conversation. I will add another one, then another one, as we continue for the sake of tomorrow. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus was walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. This has been like a basis or a foundation scripture in this conversation, that Jesus was walking at the sea, he finds these people who are fishing and immediately tells them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And scripture says immediately they left everything and followed him. We've said quite a lot about discipleship, and one of the things that I want to talk about this evening is still on the same conversation of discipleship. That follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left the nets and followed him. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus talks about that whoever wants to follow him must hate his brother, hate his mother, hate his father. Actually, the act there is putting God first, must put God first ahead of any other thing. And in putting God first, it means that you have to sacrifice some comfort, some things that are very important and vital to you. I don't want to be a Mackenzie. I don't want to be a Mackenzie. Mackenzie, he has just raised the bar of scrutiny for churches because he was professing to be a religious person. But in the bottom line is, when God tells you to follow him or follow a certain cause, he's just calling you to be a disciple, which is a student. Disciple means a student, is to become a student of what, or of the instructions he will give you, of the making. The making is now he's giving you instructions. God makes us by giving us instruction. Our obedience to those instructions or heeding to those instructions is what makes us emulate or copy or be like him in all that we do. And I say in discipleship, we don't come with mysteries, because what we teach or what needs to be taught is what has already been revealed or what has been taught in the scriptures. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and the earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." That nation, that word nation, is also people. It's not the countries that we put in our. Go make disciples of all kinds of people and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then he says, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded or I have instructed you. So here you find that as the gospel is coming out, it is having an intention of getting converts who in turn become disciples or students of the same gospel. That which Jesus taught is what needs to be continued in terms of teaching. In Titus chapter 1, Paul says, this is the promise, verse 1 to 5. This is the promise that we received. This is the promise that was made before. So there was a promise that was made before. And that promise that was made before informs the gospel we are preaching. So out of that conversation, we find that what we are teaching or discipleship has to have a bracket. Discipleship is not coercing you. Discipleship is not pushing you to do something for my own benefit. Discipleship is you committing yourself to be given to the things of God as you ought to be given. Because in that, in your submission to the message or the gospel, will make you a better Christian or somebody who is able to reflect Jesus or the gospel to the world. So when it comes to discipleship, we don't come with mysteries. You see, like what is happening with Mackenzie's story is the desire that one of the things, let me rephrase that. When you find that I am giving you a spectacular is you are looking for mysteries. For example, you find I start saying Jesus is coming soon. Yes, it's true. But now using that to coerce or put you in a fix to behave in a certain way against scripture, that is total manipulation. That is total manipulation. So it is important for us to come to a place of understanding that when I am focused to discipleship, I have to avoid manipulating people and end up teaching, training, and stabilizing people with the gospel. As a child of God, you need to have that mind behind your head. The gospel that you reached, or the gospel that you heard, and that gospel that transformed you to become a child of God, that is what you need to be taught. And what are you being taught about? You're actually discovering what Jesus has done, who God is, and what have you become now that you've believed that message. The moment I start giving you and say this mystery is what I was saying on Sunday, it means that I'm about to manipulate you into an action or into doing something that is not right. And the challenge that we have right now with believers is we are after the spectacular. We are using miracles. We are using ambience. We are using the literal things to judge and say this is the right doctrine. And in the long run, we find ourselves in the bush because of what? Misconception, misunderstanding, and misjudgment that is being brought on board, causing us not to appreciate and see the gospel as it is. Paul tells the Church of Galatians that there's a gospel you received. That gospel was to give you freedom. It was don't entangle yourself again into bondage. So it means that when you look at Paul in the same Galatians and 1 Peter chapter 2, he says there are those people who are coming to listen to what we are preaching, then they are twisting it for their own benefit, changing the gospel, making it another gospel. So as a disciple, the message should always make you a student of knowing the Lordship of Jesus. And that Lordship of Jesus is not to manipulate you. The Lordship of Jesus is to show you how free you are. Because the moment the gospel now starts telling you how bound you are, then that is not the right gospel. The gospel should always tell you, now that you are born again, this and this has happened. And in this and this, you're able to access this. In this and this, this was what was influencing you before. And right now, what is influencing you is the Spirit of God. So you need to be cautious or subject your mind, open your heart to the gospel or to the Spirit of God, who will direct and guide you through all things and is guiding you in truth, not in bondage, in truth, the reality that you've become. Truth is also another word for reality, the reality you've become. So without you coming to reality when it comes to discipleship, then it is manipulation. That is just an addition to what I wanted to share in the evening, so that we don't fall into the hands of another Mackenzie or another manipulating doctrine that might come again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, 13 says that you equipped, verse 14, you are equipped so that you are able to stand firm, not tossed to every manner or every kind or wind of doctrine. So it is important as a child of God to come to a place and, you know what, say, Ma, I've learned something. I've grasped something. I understand something. So when Jesus is walking, I'm just speaking it literally. I was just thinking about it, that I'm walking towards church and I meet people, maybe boda boda guys, and I tell them, hey, follow me, I will make you elevate members, or I will make you disciples of Jesus. So in there, it's not for them to just leave the motorbike. In their going, you find in Matthew chapter 5, he was teaching the Beatitudes, chapter 6, chapter 7. You go to John, you go to Luke, there were teachings that were happening at the mountains, at the wilderness. The wilderness is not a dry place, it's just an open space that does not have buildings. So there was, because scripture says they sat, he told them, sit on the grass. So it's not a desert as we think, dry, no. It is just an open space that does not have a building. So when they were sitting down, he started teaching them. And then when the disciples were not understanding, they used to ask him later. And he sat down and taught them patiently. Hence the reason why he says, these are the things that I taught you, or I spoke to you while I was yet with you. This shows you that discipleship cannot happen without teaching. And in that teaching, you both teach, give the doctrine, and practice the doctrine. Because you don't just teach people and expect them to practice out, as you, on the other hand, is on a freelance or on a free gear or you are free to do whatever you want. And that is what Paul is concerned about in the Church of Romans, chapter 1, chapter 2. He says, the teachers of the law, they tell you do this, but they themselves are not obliging. They are not doing what they are telling people to do. Then that is why Paul says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That was specifically for the teachers, showing them that they are all also sinners. For not acting out or doing the law, they were sinners by that. So with that mindset, you realize that in discipleship, it is the doctrine, what you're being taught, which is around the gospel of what Jesus has done. Then number two, above what has been taught of the gospel, it is now the lifestyle that you are living, how you are living your life. I tell someone pray, but I'm not praying. That is not discipleship. That is now pushing people, and that is, you find like the story. I'm using the story of Mackenzie because he's outside there. He's telling people to fast. Then they ask him, why is not fasting? And sema kila mtu anatafuta Mungu kivyake. That is wrong discipleship. Everything the disciples were to do is what Jesus did. They fasted because Jesus fasted. They prayed because Jesus prayed. They taught the gospel because Jesus taught the gospel. When Jesus went around preaching about the kingdom of God, that was good news. So that gospel that Jesus preached is what they preached. The fasting, the practices, going to the synagogue. You find Paul, Peter, they are going to the synagogue. That is where Jesus went, met the Pharisees. Paul is talking to the teachers of the law. That is what Jesus did. So in discipleship, you don't demand from a disciple what the instructor is not doing. If I am lifting up my hands, I can tell people, lift up my hands. If I'm not lifting my hands, then I don't have the authority to tell people what I'm not doing. Hence the reason why Jesus comes and says, all authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on the earth. Now, therefore, there's an authority, there's a right that you receive by doing or being the first disciple of the message that you're doing. So if I'm telling my neighbor, forgive, and I'm not forgiving, that is hypocrisy. If I'm telling my neighbor, give, and I'm not a giver, that is hypocrisy. That is not discipleship. If I'm telling my neighbor, pray, and I'm not praying, that is hypocrisy. It is not integrity, it is hypocrisy. So I have to constantly practice what I want other people to do. I practice fast so that they can see and emulate on how I am doing it. And that is the best way of impacting. We impact by teaching. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are life, they are spirit and life. So it means the message is spirit and is life. We impart that life and spirit, but it is best imparted by us acting it out. As much as Jesus was the light of the world, he knew everything. He still went to pray. He still worshipped God. He still preached the gospel. He still mingled with people. So the practicality of the message makes discipleship easy. Makes discipleship easy. So the disciples who are the students of the gospel were to observe an instruction, a commandment of what they had received. So how do you guard what you've received as a disciple? By observing, teaching others to observe. You're constantly looking unto it. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, continue thou in the things that you've learned. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, what you've received from me, teach it to faithful men who are able to teach others. So you have to jealously protect the gospel, make it possible for others to be partakers of the same. It's like you are sitting on the table and eating, or there's food served, and you are visitors, and you tell us eat, and you're not eating. Yes, I know culturally it's strange, it's very out of scope, but even normal human being relationship will tell you, "Hey, how comes you're not eating?" Because we'll start saying, "Hey, how many poison umetupatia?" So in discipleship, whatever you serve, be the first one to eat. Be part of the learning curve for the disciples that you're having. So as you listen to the message, intentionally purpose in your heart that I'm going to practice what I am reading. I have seen in scripture people ought to pray. I should not be saying I want to pray. I should pray. I read the word and I see people are givers. I should not say I will be giving. I should start giving, as small as it is. We believe, therefore we speak. So the loudest voice of any person It is not the shout that you make. It is the practice that you put on board to do what needs to be done. The disciples did not follow Jesus because they liked him, but because of the training. People will not follow you. People will not do what you want them to do without training. And you can't train better by other than you practicing what you're saying. So they will follow you. They will do what they see you do. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. That was a discipleship angle for Jesus. So there's something that disciple has to see the lead person do. Then they replicate it on the ground. And they are able to do what is supposed to be done. So the first priority that should drive any fellowship, even elevate, is the training. The training. And training, we've said, is you doing it so that the person emulating you can see this is how it is done. And in training, all of us are vulnerable to the teachings that are coming. All of us are responding to the instructions. It is in the response, the acting out, that we are able to solidify the instruction. Now, in fellowship, we find that there are great sacrifices that need to come on board. I want to read Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Sorry, I don't know if I'm a bit fast or slow. I need to increase the speed. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, verse 28, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. We all know that these people that were being told died, the physical death. But now they will not taste death because they have believed the gospel, they have eternal life. But what I'm focusing on is, if anyone who desires, verse 24 of Matthew 16, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So in fellowship or in discipleship, there are sacrifices that we have to make. Those sacrifices is like we are losing our soul, but in short, is we are saving our soul. The losing of the soul is not dying. What is happening with Mackenzie once again? It is us submitting to the Word of God, that we allow the Word of God to cleanse or work on our soul, sanctify our soul to reflect what God speaks about us in scriptures. So in this walk of faith, we find that we have to give what lies in the soul, the attitude, the thinking, the perceptions of things, that we have to allow the Word of God, that is like water. Husband, wash your wives with the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Wash your word. So the Word of God washes us. And in washing us, it makes us clean or sanctified in our soul to think like Jesus, operate like Jesus, reflect like Jesus. And in the long run, that is now you are losing your soul. You are losing the attitude. You are losing some behaviors for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom. And that is what the writer is saying here, that you have to lose and take up, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. We know that he came to give us life.
Then he says, whoever desires to save it, he will lose it. So in short, Jesus was saying, if you don't get born again, you will die a natural death, and that is it. But when you get born again, none of these people standing here will taste death. So in our submission, in discipleship, we actually magnify the eternal life, protrude it out through our lives, through our hearts, through our mind, that we are able to reflect and see the goodness of God and enjoy the goodness of God in our lives concerning what God has done, what God will do, and what God wants us to achieve. So that sacrifice is not an option. Sacrifices are expected. It is a normal gesture for anyone in discipleship. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. I'll read it, verse 27 to 31. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body. Do not fear those who kill the body. So whatever you heard, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather hear him who is able to destroy both the soul, both soul and body in hell. Hear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Then verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Here I want to let us know that following grants us many advantages even without praying for God to say you are of more value. Following grants us a lot of benefits even without praying. Verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Then in verse 9, but you are the very hair of your head, verse 30, are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. In Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 19, I hope you're learning something as I'm learning something. Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 19, scripture says, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them that what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. So this is to show you that in discipleship, not everyone is allowed to follow. Not everyone is allowed to follow. In discipleship, not everyone is allowed to follow. It's a very strange, instruction. And very interesting instruction, but it really amazed me when I read this, that in discipleship, not everyone is allowed to follow. And I asked myself, what does it mean? I remember in different spaces where there are some people I really wanted them to mentor me. I really wanted to follow them. I really wanted to be a disciple to them, but they turned me down. And I looked at that. Even you, I know there are people that you really want them to mentor you. There are people that you really want them to guide you. You want people to walk with you in the things of God, but they have turned you down. Like this person, Jesus said when he wanted to follow him, Mark chapter 5, verse 18, And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said, go home. So there are people that if you permit them to follow you, you're actually limiting them from doing what they need to do. You see, Jesus gave him an instruction, and when he went around talking about Jesus. So not everyone is meant to be a disciple within your brackets. It's a reality that you need to allow into your mind, into your spirit. And it's very contradicting, because Jesus and Ashoa say, go ye preach to all the world, make disciples. So everyone is going out to make disciples, but not everyone is a disciple to everyone. We are making disciples for the gospel. Yes, discipleship is one being a student of the other. Not everyone is your student. That's where you find kuna shule mingi. There are different schools, there are different universities. And when you go probably to Nairobi University, you are a student of Nairobi University for that faculty. You can't be a student of Kenyatta University of the same faculty unless you're doing two different programs on both universities. But it's one at a time. And you find that that still applies to discipleship. That if you pick everyone, you need to know this person has the ability to be a student of what I'm teaching. It's like right now I go out and say, like for example, you are not a person who is tuned in singing, and you're just like that, and you start following a person who sings and tell them, train me how to sing. It will be hectic, it will be a lot of work, and at the end of the day, is either you sacrifice more to do that, or you miss on what God has to say. All I'm saying is, following is an opportunity, a privilege that one needs to cherish jealously, because not everyone is supposed to be a disciple. And I have to confess this that I've said to someone. It is a reality check in my life that I decided I'm not a pastor for Nairobi. I'm not a pastor for everyone. There are specific people. And the first people that God has given me to disciple, they are the ones who've gathered at Elevate Chapel. I know there are people who will come that are not into the bracket of my discipleship ability, but probably I might not be able, but within Elevate, you find somebody else is able to, who I am discipling, is able to disciple them. That is why those people Peter reached is not the people that Paul reached, neither is the people that Jesus reached, but Jesus reached them through the different apostles. So it is important to know that following is an opportunity, a privilege that one needs to cherish jealously, because not everyone is allowed to follow anyone. Another point is the art of following is an obedience to God. Discipleship is obedience to God. Look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. From verse 1, says, follow me. God says, Abraham, leave your father, leave your kindred's home, and go to a city that I will show you. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, we find the same. It is about obedience. Let's just read Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1 to 3. I'm almost there. Deuteronomy 28. Take these notes carefully, because you'll be the ones running through. Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments or instructions, which I have instructed you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be, shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground, and increase your herds, the increase of your cattle. Is talking about the blessed. Verse 7 says, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. It is a prayer that I've heard people pray. May my enemy flee in seven different ways. Yes, but what was the instruction? Now shall come, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of God. Not if you pray, if you diligently obey the voice of God. Some of the battles that we are fighting is because we've decided not to be disciples. We've decided to be rogue. There's a word that is usually used. A person who does not have a rogue person. There's a word I've forgotten. You've just decided to be out of line. You're not a disciple. Just know that you are disobeying the voice of God. Because Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." It's not men who are imposing. It is an instruction in the Word of God. And by default, every man has an influence, whether positive or negative. So discipleship is key, is very key for you to avert some of the things that are happening in life, for you to have the safety in many things. It looks a very McKenzie kind of statement, but the truth is, from Scripture, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of God, your Lord, to observe carefully all his instruction, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth, and you shall see, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So the blessings that will overtake you is what is listing that in verse 3 all the way to verse 6, you'll be blessed going out, blessed coming in. Your basket will be full. You'll be having many things, many advantages. So discipleship is very key. The art of following is obedience to God. Or discipleship is obedience to God. And the obedience to God has many benefits. The blessings Abraham enjoyed was tied to him obeying the instructions. Him leaving his family, leaving familiar ground, leaving familiar town, and follow God's instruction was a provocation of God's blessing. So the best way to be blessed, even you, by you not praying, it is being submitted into a discipleship journey with somebody. You just find things are happening. Why? For example, I've inboxed everyone prayer this day early in the morning. And after doing that, I was just musing over it today. And I was like, I have a burden to pray for you as a disciple in Elevate, because I feel responsible to do that. I feel obligated to do that. If I don't do that, I am also playing a disobedience. I am a hireling, not a shepherd. The sheep is by default protected from the predator, as long as it's within the shepherd's territory or shepherd's vicinity. So you'll find that there are so many things that I'm praying on your behalf, even without you asking me to pray. I'll just pray. And you'll find that in that understanding, that discipleship has many benefits. In life, God will place crazy demands that are against your comfort zone, that when you obey them, you find that everything that needs to happen aligns in itself. And some of those instructions is to submit. It's to submit. There's a day God was speaking to me, and I was just praying and praying. He gave me an instruction, and I was asking many questions. And he told me, fatherhood is not about age. I sat down for the entire day thinking about that statement. And in that statement, I realized that never submit to somebody because of age, but the grace they have in different areas or in different opportunities that they are able to guide and be and bring an advantage your way. Not to manipulate you, but to cause you maximize and become a better version of yourself in the Word of God, in the right doctrine of God. So you need to be very, very obedient in what God is telling you. In discipleship, the comfort zone that will be there, you'll find that God, as you submit yourself under the leading of the Spirit and the guidance of the person that God has put in your heart to be your lead or your discipler, you'll find that God will, in the middle of it, instruct you, give you crazy instructions, telling you, take leave. And that leave you're not taking to go on for a holiday or you're going for... No, you're taking that leave so that you can either go for further teaching or further training and that person, or it is taking leave so that you can take a lot of time in prayer or studying the Word. He can even tell you, come to Elevate Grounds for the next 3 days and just pray. You will not understand. You don't need to understand. You just need to oblige and pray. And as you pray, you find that that week, probably God is putting you in a place to have the burden for the church or the burden for your pastor, the burden for your friend. And as you pray for them, things change, things revolutionize. So it is important for us to know that. The last point, as I wrap it up, obedience is cheaper than disobedience. And this is based on the consequences that come after disobedience. We are where we are because of Genesis chapter 3. So Adam disobeying God has caused sin to enter into the world. So you have to come to a place of knowing that when I disobey the voice of God, the costs, the consequences are very high. So despite women feeling that men are mishandling them or are doing things or are fighting them, they still go and receive and look for the same men. Why? Disobedience is very expensive. And Adam's disobedience had to make that come on board. So your obedience today will sound okay until disobedience surfaces. And the moment you give in to disobedience, you might say, it is a shortcut, you know, I had to do this. But in the days to come, you will be paying for that disobedience. I'm sounding legalistic, but it's the truth. For example, if today I do a disobedience, I go out and sleep with another lady, let me use that. It will be a secret, but if that lady is pregnant, that lady, months coming down the line, it will be nagging me. And when she gives birth, that child will be like a stigma, will be like a thorn in the flesh. Every now and then, it will be a reminder, you disobeyed, you did this wrong. So it is something that you need to come to realize that disobedience will not pay you immediately, but in the days to come, it will always call you to accountability, and it will be like a thorn in the flesh. And I will tell you is this story as I wrap it up. In 2003, I remember in 2003, I was just available. I cleared my fourth form in 2002. And I was just around doing, because I had repeated class 8. Reason being, my dad told me the marks that I got was not equal to my smartness. So I repeated, and in 2003, I was around. A pastor approached me and told me, you know, you've been called to ministry. And I want you to join the Bible school here and just build yourself up as you wait on God to open doors for the college. I vehemently or strongly rejected and say, just things, no. I stayed the entire year that I was meant to be in Bible school, doing nothing, just going to church, being there, helping other people do Bible studies and all those assignments, but I'm not attending class. Then after that, I went to college. I stayed in college the entire time doing, I was meant to go do a teaching. I refused. I went for chemical engineering because that's what I wanted to do. So I went to Eldoret Polytechnic. Right now it's Eldoret University. And when I went there, I did my studies in the first year. I went to plant a church. So every weekend I was out to go do door-to-door evangelism, do crusade, do Sunday service, go back on Monday to school. I was so naive, it didn't hit me. I was just there. Fast forwarding, years down the line, I'm meeting the same man of God. He's laughing at me. He's telling me, I told you, but you refused. See, now you are a pastor. In fact, you are running a church. And that is when I realized I have stayed all these years doing things that I thought they are right. And at the end of the day, I am back to the place where I was meant to be. So I was forced, when I went to Park University, I told them I want to do this course. I have a diploma in this. They said, you have to start from zero. Chemical engineering and Bible, there's nothing we can transfer. So what do you know what? I had to start from zero. I had to throw all those things out and start from zero. I've done that thing again for another 3 years, doing church leadership, transformational church leadership. And when I was doing that, I was constantly being reminded, if you had obliged in 2003, probably right now you could be pursuing a doctorate in an area, because I want to do a doctorate in divinity, that is my aim. You could be pursuing maybe a doctorate in divinity of the same. What am I saying about this? Disobedience is cheaper than disobedience. So as a disciple, you have to submit your heart to obedience, to the voice of God. Because in the obedience of the voice of God, there's blessedness in the city, out of the city. Your fruit of the body is blessed. Your mind is blessed. Your family is blessed. Your basket and your kneading bowl. It says, blessed are you when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Then it says, God will scatter your enemies. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. So you find that the Lord will establish you as a holy people. So there's a lot of things that happen when you obey the voice of God. Not wanting to be a disciple is disobedience, and it will cost you at the end of the day. Amen and amen. I hope that